Welcome back to Reporter's Notebook on WTMJ. Switching things up a little bit for this segment of the show, we are out on location at the Wisconsin State Fair, and I am joined for this portion of the show by the fabulous Farm Babe. You hear her every Monday through Friday, 5 to 6 a.m. on WTMJ. Pam Yonke, the pride of UW River Falls and a one-time Oconee County Dairy Queen, with us on Reporter's Notebook. Welcome in.
Yeah, thanks. I hope the River Falls goes along with your statement there, Adam. Yes, thank you.
Well, I can say, as someone who visited a lot of the WIAC schools over my time at UW La Crosse, beautiful, beautiful place, River Falls. Home of the Falcons, baby.
Yes, that a boy, that a boy.
All right, so let's first touch on something I've wanted to talk to you about for a while, this idea of the dairy breakfast, because we are at the Wisconsin State Fair, and one of the things I've always remembered growing up and in radio and then doing a lot of these remotes at several county fairs over the years is the dairy breakfast, usually at the front end, but it can happen at any time.
Sure.
And you had a pretty interesting dairy breakfast you were at earlier this week.
Yeah, here at Wisconsin State Fair Park, one thing that a lot of people overlook but is very, very special to me and a lot of people in farming is the recognition of the century and sesquicentennial farms and homes we've got around the state. And believe me, there are many. For people that don't think that farms in Wisconsin last beyond 150 years, I would challenge you to take a look at some of our pictures online at MidwestFarmReport.com or our social media channels, because we had about a 50-50 split this year, at least by my estimation, in Tuesday's breakfast, where about 50% of the tent were families that made up the century honorees, and about 50% of the tent were the sesquicentennial, 150 years or more honorees. And they came from literally all over the state. For a while at the breakfast, what we noticed, and it makes perfect sense, you stop and think about where your grandparents, your great-grandparents came from, many probably outside the United States. One of their first places they may have touched U.S. ground to a large extent was Milwaukee. So a lot of the farms and homes that got recognized for centuries and then sesquicentennial start in southeast Wisconsin, but then you can literally trace the movement of people from Milwaukee to populating the rest of the state. And now we're mature enough as far as this event is concerned that literally we see century and sesquicentennial farms that are coming from all 72 counties all the way up to, you know, basically Lake Superior.
How's the health of our family farm system in Wisconsin? I know we have about 58,000 farms across the state. I don't remember what percentage of that is family versus commercial. Where are we at as far as the health of the family farm?
So the 58,000 you allude to, Adam, are the dairy farms, just
okay.
The dairy farms. And and that's easy to understand. Why do we know 58,000? Because dairy farms in Wisconsin are required to be licensed. We are the only state that basically requires some of these things.
Mm-hmm.
So we know, because of virtue of inspections, we've got 58,000 active dairy farms. In Wisconsin, 99% of those dairy farms are family-owned and operated,
okay,
regardless of size. So when I always tell people, if you're doing a little windshield time and you see a big barn or a big piece of equipment, do not make assumptions that that is a corporate farm, because in reality, it's a family farm, but there may be multi-generations on that farm. Could be a couple brothers, could be dad and a couple sons. So just recognize that the scale reflects how many families are trying to get a living off of it. So we've got that going on. And then you have to think about all the farms that may not have cows there necessarily, but the ground is still being operated. Maybe somebody's renting it. Maybe they've got corn or soybeans that they're growing themselves. Might be beef cattle instead of dairy. So we've got far more than 58,000 active farms in Wisconsin. They just do different things. So that being said, Wisconsin agriculture right now is enjoying wonderful weather.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of dinged up our commodity prices, the price that farmers are paid, because everybody, to a large extent in the United States, has pretty decent growing weather. That means that nobody's suffering, nobody's putting any concern in the marketplace about availability. So that's one of the things that we have, that's the trade-off to the beautiful weather that we've been able to work with after spring planting. I know there's people that are going to say, hey, where was she April, May? I was with you. I got 100 crop acres in Oconee County that I'm still responsible for on the family farm. And because of that weather, I had nothing but wheat this year. Last year was a wet year. My farm, I could not get anything planted, so we had to turn to wheat. So believe me, folks, I hear you. If you're farming, I get it. I know I'm only small potatoes with 100 acres, but I think all farms are connected when it comes to weather and their challenges.
It's always interesting thinking about commodities because the average Joe may not know what class 3 milk is.
Correct.
Or what soybean oil
sure.
is. But I remember around 2017 having to get a crash course in a lot of that stuff and learning for the market reports we would do on WCOW out in Sparta. What is something about the industry, Pam, that the average person may not recognize is so important to what people in agriculture do every day?
You know, I think more and more it's what you just said, Adam, and that is slowing down and thinking a little bit. You know, the phrase that a lot of farmers like to use is common sense isn't so common anymore. The things that farms do every day, we assume that you understand, and that's not the case. So slowing down to think through some of the things that farms are doing that go unrecognized. For example, the equipment that we're using today, how it is doing less destruction to the soil, because we are all about conservation. I just mentioned, we talk about 150-year-old farms. You got to keep that soil in place. You've got to take care of that farm if you want the next generation to be able to come in and take over. So I think just kind of slowing down and paying attention to the methodical way that farmers do things. The other part that never gets thought about, but I want you to think about the next time that you're caught in, and I say this with respect, the wonderful Milwaukee rush hour traffic. Let us just slow down for a moment and think about how much you value the space between your bumper and the bumper ahead of you. People will white knuckle it for that 3 feet, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, flip that with the agriculture mind frame. In agriculture, we plant a seed in May and have faith and trust that we will have a crop come September, October, November, whenever it is.
Sure.
That is an incredible amount of patience. It also tells you about the pace and why farmers are, you know, we stand and we learn and we're patient. And that's just way different than people that are on their phones or constantly caught up in a busy calendar. And believe me, I am that way. I understand.
Oh, for sure.
But it's just a very different world as far as the pace and priorities and patience that I work really hard in the stories that we share on WTMJ to try to help people understand. We're in this for the long run. When you see those kids showing those animals at Wisconsin State Fair, and I hope you'll still make it out today, those kids made decisions back in November on the animals that you see today. Do you remember what you did in November? Those kids are into that project, and every day they're thinking about it, taking care of it, moving it down the process. And like I said, those are sometimes the elements that are overlooked when you walk through the barn and you see the finished product. But we try very hard at the Midwest Farm Report to share those stories right along the way.
Fabulous farm babe, Pam Yonke, here on the Midwest Farm Report. She's with us on Reporter's Notebook today. You know, Pam, concurrent with Wisconsin State Fair, another event from this past week that was pretty significant in our state's ag world was Farm Technology Days in Waupaca County. When you think of the idea of technology on the farm, we're way removed from pushing the plow by hand in the early 20th century and beyond that. What is a piece of farm tech that you say now in the 21st century is more important than any other that the average farmer is using on their property or on their acreage today?
Well, and I'll tell the story, Adam, and I don't want the consumers to be intimidated or get outlandish ideas. One of the biggest pieces of technology that I see making a big change, a sweeping change in Wisconsin agriculture, are robotic milkers. Now, there are many different reasons for that. Remember, I grew up as a dairy kid. Our home farm never had more than 45 milk cows, a lot of hand labor. I mean, I for those that are out there old enough to remember, I went from being a little girl where milk went into cans. Then we went up to something called, and we had buckets, surge buckets, if anybody remembers that. Then we went up to something called a step saver, which was basically a mechanism that allowed us to not have to drag buckets all up and down the barn. And then we finally got to a pipeline. That's kind of where our chapter ended before the cows went. But that was cutting edge technology then. Now we are seeing farms that are able to put robots in place. Now, why is this important? Number one, none of us are getting any younger. There are many people in Wisconsin that love the dairy industry, passionate about the dairy industry and their cows, but Mother Nature is a ticking time bomb on their bodies.
Of course.
And they can't do the physical things necessary always to keep that farm running as it is. Let's look at labor. Not every farm can be the size to afford employees or find employees. Robots take away a lot of those responsibilities. Robots, and again, now when I say a robot, folks, understand this is basically a standing piece of equipment where the cow gets to decide when she wants to be milked. So we have a little necklace around her that's got a transponder on. When she decides, hey, I think I'm going to go get milked, she walks in. The machine says, hello, cow. We're ready for you. Come on in.
Nice to meet you.
They put out a little feed for her. Welcome to the salon. Let us take care of you. So they literally do everything from washing her udder and sanitizing it right on through to, like I said, feeding her, monitoring her body health. How you feeling, cow? Running a fever? How's your belly health? All of those kinds of things while they milk her. As they're milking her, they're saying, okay, now remember, not to be too rudimentary here, but cow's got four quarters, four teats. Mm-hmm. So the machine says, okay, teat number one is done now, I'm off, and gently takes care of that cow's milk. Okay, that's technology. That information is all being transponded to the farmer on his smartphone or his desktop so he can say, hey, cow number 114's throwing a little bit of a fever. We better make sure that we get her to the side. So when the transponder comes off, they might have another gate that says, come here, cow 114. We want to take a little closer look at you and make sure that you're feeling okay before you go back with the rest of the girls. And then the girls can decide how many times in a day they want to be milked instead of waiting for the farmer to come out, do chores. Now I'm going to milk. Now I'm going to go have supper, go to bed, come back out. Maybe that cow wants to be milked four times, eight times a day. She decides, and the farmer does not theoretically have to be there.
Now, we do still have to have people maintaining this
technology.
Absolutely.
You are correct. We will never become an industry that doesn't have people because people still pay attention to the animals. You can't tell a machine visually what you see when that animal's ears are drooping or something like that. You are correct there. Plus, that machine needs maintenance. That machine may run out of paper, lose a signal, get hit by light, whatever the case may be. So we will never take all the people out of the process. But for those that are aging or those that are at a point where I can't build a real big barn, a robot these days can be, according to the guests that we've interviewed, you can affordably put a robot in place and milk 60 cows. That's pretty amazing compared to the way I grew up, where you had to add on stanchions, add on. That's a lot of capital expense that now we're putting into technology. So that's one example that I think of that could literally change the way Wisconsin agriculture, especially America's dairyland, looks.
Pam, before I let you go, a lot of the times in the just news world in general, mm-hmm. we do have, unfortunately, stories that tend towards the more negative side of humanity sometimes. Mm-hmm. It's just kind of the nature of what we have to
yes,
do.
Correctly.
Can you share with me some feel-good stories that are happening right here in our state that maybe people aren't privy to that might shine a better light and maybe make people think differently?
I would suggest that when you walk through the barns, and please do walk through the barns, and take a look at the generations. It may be grandpa, dad, son, nephew, all there. Why are they there? What are they planning to do? Why did they take so much time out of their summer to be here? That's one story that you can take a look at. And then the other thing that I get a chance to see are the young people that are already in it. If you go on social media, for example, and in Wisconsin, we've got a lot of young farmers. I'm talking about farmers that are under the age of 40 for sure. These are young families that are couples that have two, three kids or that, and they are farming. They're farming differently than maybe when I was a kid, but they're farming and they're sharing their stories on social media to try to help people understand that that passion still burns. They still want to be a part of day-to-day production agriculture, and they're going through the steps that they have to, which is financing, maybe some working with federal officials or state officials to see what's out there. They're thinking through their farm plan on conservation and how we're going to make sure that our kids will be able to do this. May not be a big farm. It may be a smaller farm. It may be involve ag tourism or something like that, or a on-farm product like ice cream or butter or something like that that they're marketing. So their business plan looks a little different than what you as a consumer may think of when you think about farming. But that is the face of young agriculture today. They are entrepreneurs. They love what they do. They love agriculture, but they recognize they've got to be business savvy to be able to stay in production agriculture. One of the best places where we see it in our world is every December, Wisconsin Farm Bureau has their Young Farmers and Agriculturalists Conference, and it brings together these young minds, these young couples that are fully engaged in agriculture, and the synergy that you get from them, the energy that they have about what they're doing, and tell me more, and how do you do this, and the interaction and exchange is just, it's a straight shot of adrenaline for an old bird like me. And it also tells me that the future looks bright. It's going to look different. Better get comfortable with that, folks. These are the same people that you're seeing at the farmer's market that you may sit next to at church, you'll see at PTA, at sporting events and things like that. They like to do what you like to do. Then when they go home, they have to check on the cows, on the beef, on the hogs, on whatever, and their kids as well. So like I said, I am the every farmer is an eternal optimist, or you don't put a seed in the ground. You don't breed a cow for a calf. You are the eternal optimist. It'll always get better. It'll get better. We'll get by. That is the way that we live. And like I said, I see a whole generation of young farmers that are going to continue that mantra.
The passion palpable in her voice. You hear her every weekday, early mornings on WTMJ, 5 to 6 a.m. the Midwest Farm Report. Fabulous Farm Bay, Pam Yonke with us on Reporter's Notebook. Thanks so much, Pam.
My pleasure. Enjoy the State Fair.